My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show, final hour here on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And it is time for us to pick everything. Our division winners, our Super Bowl participants, our Super Bowl winners, MVP, the whole deal. Anthony, I say we start with division winners, and then we will get into the individual awards, and then ultimately, before the end of the hour, land on Super Bowl winners. That sound good to you?
That sounds fantastic.
All right, we're missing one thing. It's yeah, that's about right. Of course, Chiefs and Ravens tonight here on, I believe, are we carrying that game or is it on the Fan? Westwood One has it. It's somewhere on our family station. The Nats are on over there, so we should have it here. We're professionals. Now you're going to make me look this up. Now this is just awkward.
Yeah,
980 schedule.
I think we are carrying in it.
We're not carrying it tonight. Because it's a Baltimore game. So Ravens, it's blacked out. The old embargo. Local, check your local listings.
Oh, we have Talking Terps today.
We do have Talking Terps. We also have Mystics Mercury tonight at 10. But tomorrow night, we will have Packers and Eagles starting at 7:30 here on the Team 980. Whoopsie daisies. By the way, this weekend, make sure you do not miss. We'll have Take Command airing on the station this weekend. So fun preview there. And then also we got Burgundy and Gold pregame with Denton and Linnell. And Burgundy and Gold game day live with those guys during the game. And then Doc has your post game. So make sure you're locked in starting at 11 a.m. this weekend. Earl Forsey before those guys as well. But, Anthony, let's dive into it. We're going to have to move quickly here through the AFC. Last year, the AFC East ultimately won by the Buffalo Bills on the last day of the season. Dolphins went 11-6 as well. The Jets finished 7-10 despite getting just four snaps from Aaron Rodgers. And the Patriots stunk. Who you got this year?
Out of the AFC East, I'm going to go with the Jets, surprisingly. I'm going with the Jets.
I don't know if it's a huge surprise. It's not who I'm going to pick, but okay. Their defense should be nasty. Their offense should be significantly better, assuming that Rodgers is...
The Rodgers.
Well, it's not even if Rodgers is Rodgers. If Rodgers is not Zach Wilson.
Yeah, that too.
You know, last year's version of Zach Wilson. All due respect and best wishes to future versions of Zach Wilson. I get it. I'm going to go with the Dolphins. I know that like people are off them because they finished the season on the losing streak. I actually thought they played pretty tough, the Chiefs, in that playoff game, but the weather is just so brutal. It's just not how they're built.
No excuse for that.
But like what I'm saying is there's a little bit more toughness to that team. And like the Chiefs are a better team that won the Super Bowl. They're the two-time defending champs. So like going toe-to-toe with them when you're the Miami Dolphins in minus a billion degree weather, like there's some toughness, there's some gumption there. I appreciate that. I also think it's another year of McDaniel and Tua and Tyreek and all them together. I got some questions about their defense, but ultimately, like, I think it's regular season, we're picking a division winner. I think they can do it. I think people are sleeping on them a little bit.
I just think they're going to start fast again, and they're going to fade as they usually do. Because even Tyreek Hill, towards the end of the season, he always gets nicked up, or there's something that goes on where, you know, his production sort of declines. So if they stay healthy, yes, I think they'll be a threat.
And that's what I'm banking on, right? Yeah. Is that they stay healthy, they get out to enough of a lead, they win the division. I'm not telling you I'm picking them to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
But I'm picking the division.
Okay.
I think I'm going to take them. I like Buffalo. I like New York. I famously do not like New England. AFC North, maybe the best division in football. Ravens, they finished 13-4 last year, top seed in the conference. Browns, 11-6, despite putrid quarterback play from Deshaun Watson. And then Joe Flacco saved their bacon. Steelers, obviously we know, looking at potentially Justin Fields this weekend. Russell Wilson limited today with some calf tightness. And then what the hell is going on with the Bengals, who, by the way, did finish 9-8 last year, despite Burrow being hurt for most of it. Who you got in the AFC North?
I got the Ravens, man. Too many questions about the Bengals' defense for me. The Steelers, I think, you know, they're going to be a tough out. They're going to finish above 500. We know what they're going to do. And then the Browns, I'm still not sold on Deshaun Watson. Like, I don't think he's remotely close to, like, what he was in Houston. And I think that's what they were necessarily banking on. And also, to start the season without Nick Chubb, that's a huge piece to their recipe for success. So I'm going with the Ravens. You have Derrick Henry. You have Lamar coming off an MVP season. I'm expecting big things out of the Ravens.
For sure. I'm going Baltimore as well. I just think they're the best team. And, you know, offensively, I think they got better. Like, Henry was still really good last year. I think he was second in the NFL in rushing. It took a billion carries to get there. But unless he falls off a cliff, like in the lanes he's going to have compared to what he had last year with Lamar next to him, Jesus. Yeah, the Ravens were the best team in the league by a pretty significant margin. I mean, they had a plus 203-point differential last year. Okay, for reference, the Chiefs were plus 77. The Texans were plus 24. The Bills were plus 140. And those are the other three division winners. The next closest team was plus 140. They were plus 203. So, yeah, I'm taking the Ravens. All right, AFC South. Texans won it last year. We know the Jags and Colts were right there at 9-8. And then the Titans brought up the caboose at 6-11. Who you got this year in the AFC South?
Are you serious, Craig? Asking me that question?
You're going with your Colts.
I'm going with the Colts. Going with the Colts. AR is back. He's healthy. He's ready. Week one. We're a couple of days away. 3 days. Let's get it. I think whoever wins the first game of the season, the Colts, Texans, that's going to be the winner.
I mean, I think the Colts, if AR is healthy, could be interesting. I think Texans are the smart play, and I'm going to take the Texans. There's a piece of me, though, that wants to be feisty and take the Jags. Trevor Lawrence... bounce back season. Don't pretend like it couldn't happen.
You're right.
That's all I'm saying. I'm not telling you that I love everything they did. I'm just saying that's a team that like started off hot last year despite Lawrence not playing well. And I just like, defense, Lawrence actually just not going to be that good? Like, I don't know. I doubt it. And then last but not least, you got the AFC West, the Chiefs, the Raiders, the Broncos, the Chargers. 1, 2, 3.
Chiefs.
Here's my real question about the AFC West. Does Jim Harbaugh pull a Harbaugh and somehow make the Chargers, despite the fact that they are completely talent deficient, a 10-win football team?
I don't think it's out of the
realm of possibility.
Yeah, I truly don't, just because I feel as though they're going to play smash mouth football. It worked at Michigan. And if you have linemen that are, you know, excited to go out there and, you know, punch somebody in the mouth, I think you're going to have a lot of success. And you have some backs that, you know, are good in the run game. Gus Edwards coming over from Baltimore. You got J.K. Dobbins also coming over from Baltimore. So I would not be shocked. I would not be shocked.
Yeah. No, I would not be shocked either. You know, you limit Herbert to just, hey, make a bunch of plays when we need you to.
Yep.
And you have one of the best quarterbacks in football that just has an easy job. And you protect him that way. There's so many questions defensively for them.
Too many.
I don't think they're finishing in last place. I'll tell you that much. I don't know who is, though. Like, the Broncos will be better than they should be. The Raiders, I don't know.
They excite me for some reason.
The Raiders?
I love Devontae.
I do too, but I'm trying not to be. Antonio Pierce pilled. All right, when we get back, take a look at our winners in the NFC here on the Team 980 on the day that football returns, baby.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. And we are making our way through our predictions for the 2024 NFL season. Anthony, are you writing these down, by the way?
Yes, I am, sir. I'm over here typing them up.
Okay, excellent. Because, you know, this matters for the whether or not we get to keep our jobs. I don't know if you knew that this year. Yeah, new rule in the company, Odyssey-wide. If you suck at picks, you get fired.
Oh, man, I need to do good then.
That's not how that works at all. all right, thank God for that. Although, in some respects, not always. Because maybe if it was the other way, you pick well, you got a raise, I'd have more money by now than how I've done on these the last couple years. Okay, the National Football Conference. We saved the NFC East for last. NFC North, Lions finished last year at 12-5. Packers snuck back into the playoffs at 9-8. Vikings 7-10, Bears 7-10. Of course, the Vikings lost Cousins in the offseason. Bears add Caleb Williams. Who you got?
I'm torn right now just because of Caleb freaking Williams.
Wow, you're thinking that high in year one.
I'm gonna play it safe. I'm gonna go with the Lions. I think these guys are still hungry from last season. I think the loss to the 49ers, they sort of kind of gave it away. That game was like in their grasp. So I think they're hungry, and they're probably going to come out, you know, with something to prove. So I'm going to go Lions here, but I think it will be closer than people expect.
I'm so torn as well. The Bears are intriguing.
Exactly.
They are intriguing, but it's not the team that I'm torn between. I'm looking at Detroit's schedule right now, and I feel comfortable enough about it that they'll be able to do what they got to do. I mean, they got some tough games late. You know, they got San Francisco late in the season, Monday nighter on December 30th. They got Buffalo late in the season, December 15th. So, like, they have got a first-place schedule, and that makes it tough. The Packers have a second-place schedule. That is not as difficult, theoretically. And I am a huge, huge believer in Jordan Love. I think Matt LaFleur is maybe the most underrated coach in the whole league because it's like Kyle, Sean, and it's like the next guy is LaFleur. McDaniel's obviously got the big personality, so he gets some love. O'Connell seems to get a lot of love. LaFleur, man, he is just so, so good. But I'm going to go Detroit. I think the continuity they have, staff, talent, the whole deal, their line is great. Like, there's just some buffering there that if somebody, one of their key guys, I mean, that happened last year, St. Brown missed a ton of games, or missed a couple of games, and he wasn't right for others. Like, they still had a monster season. So I'll go Detroit. And it's just hard to continuously do. I guess it really was just 1 year, though. It was a year and a half, that the back half of 22, all of 23, and then we'll see what they can do here in 2024. All right, NFC South. the division of poop last year. The Bucks won it at 9-8, defeating the Saints, who also were at 9-8. The Falcons were 7-10, threw away so many games, and then the Panthers were a league worst 2-15, a minus 180, by the way.
Yeah, I think this one's actually a little easier. I think I'm going to go with the Falcons here just because they have finally competent quarterback play, and I don't expect Kirk Cousins to, you know, hand games away when you're on the one yard line.
They got Kirk and they got weapons, bro.
Yeah, they're nasty. Defensively, you get Justin Simmons to partner with Jesse Bates, AJ Terrell. You also bring in Matthew Judon. This team, oh, I'm excited for the Falcons.
They just got to come together. They got to have the right vibes, the right juju. They were a threat to mess all that up with the Penix pick. They wasted a first-round pick in a year that they're hoping to, I mean, theoretically compete for a Super Bowl. Otherwise, why do you spend that kind of money on a quarterback? But they have enough talent that they should still win the division, and then we'll see what they can do from there. Obviously, Kirk's playoff record is not stellar, but I think he'll have a shot to change that this year with maybe the best team he's ever been on. NFC West, Niners.
You're going Falcons, though?
Yes.
For the record? Okay, yes. Just making sure.
Yeah. In case that was not clear.
Okay.
Atlanta Falcons. NFC West, San Francisco 49ers won it last year at 12-5. The Rams were at 10-7. Seahawks, 9-8. Cardinals, 4-13, should be a lot better. One of the best 4-13 teams in the history of the league. A gigantic pain in the butt. Who you got this year in the NFC West?
I'm going to go with the 49ers. I just feel as though the Rams, they can compete offensively. They just don't have much to be desired on the defense side of the ball.
That's compelling.
So I think if their offense, you know, keep them in games and, you know, be the reason they win a lot of games, I think they'll have something, you know, to say, but I still think the 49ers are just a better overall team, like offensively, defensively, like
their talent's sick.
Yeah.
Their talent's sick. And by the way, they might get reinforcements midway through the year if Tufunga and Dre Greenlaw come back.
That too.
And we'll see how well those guys play coming off major injuries, but like there's a chance they get reinforcements. But Fred Warner's still there. Ayuk, obviously now in the fold. Trent in the fold. McCaffrey was unbelievable last year. Debo, and it feels like a last hurrah. And like if I'm Kyle Shanahan, I'm trying to last dance this thing. I'm trying to be like, hey guys, this is probably the last year we're all together like this. The salary cap is coming for us. Age is coming for us. You know, there's just a reality that if we don't win it this year, then there's probably going to be some changes. The front office is going to do that. Ownership's going to want that. That's how the NFL works. We've had tremendous success, but we got one more thing we got to do. And I'm trying to rally the troops all in one time. I'll take the 49ers as well. The defense point is good. I do think the Rams could mess around. I think the Cardinals are going to float around 500, and I have no freaking idea what to make of the Seahawks.
Man, the thing is their defense is pretty good. They extended Geno. They gave him a chance, you know, go out there and try
got good receivers.
Run it back. They have a good running back as well. Like,
yeah.
I think it's just going to come down to quarterback play at the end of the day. Like, can Geno really go out there and make the plays? I think their defense.
Yeah, and they got a coordinator who's coming in from college. You run some really good stuff. And McDonald is the head coach.
Yep, like McDonald.
Their biggest questions in some ways are the coaching staff. All right. Last but not least, final divisional pick, and then we'll do our Super Bowl winner as well as our individual award winners next. Cowboys finished first last year, 12-5 after the Eagles collapsed, famously. Down the stretch, finished 11-6 despite starting 10-1. And then Los Gigantes, they were 6-11. And then your Washington Commanders, 4-13, a season that we don't have to talk about for much longer. Anthony, who is winning? God, that L.A. streak. L.A. They lost 8 in a row last year to finish the season. They were 4-5 at one point, and they finished 4-13. Okay, who is winning the NFC East?
I'm going based off history. History says teams in the NFC East don't repeat twice often. The Cowboys won it last year. This year, I'm going with the Eagles. I think between the Eagles and the Cowboys, those are the two most talented teams in the division. The Giants, I'm not buying at all. Daniel Jones stinks. That was a little harsh. I don't believe in Daniel Jones.
Believe it or not, we got that.
And the Commanders, there's a lot to be desired, but, you know, this is not a year just yet. We'll leave it up to the Eagles and Cowboys to duke it out. But I think the Eagles, with the revamp offense, sort of kind of got questions about their defense. Hassan Reddick still hasn't reported. No. They have Bryce Huff.
Yeah, they have Huff. Never mind. Reddick hasn't reported the Jets.
Yeah, forget that. But I still have questions about their secondary. James Bradbury's hurt.
And there's a bunch of young dudes. And they might be awesome. Here's the thing. The Cowboys and Eagles are super talented. The Eagles even more so than the Cowboys. I have a billion D questions about both of their staffs. How does this defense adapt without DQ? They have been top five the last couple of years. And I don't know. Mike Zimmer's a really good defensive coordinator, but is what he does what they do? Is there a mix there in terms of personnel and scheme? And they were 8-0 at home last year. They gonna do that again? Feels unlikely. They're 5-1 in the division last year. Feels unlikely. And so they've won 12 games 3 years in a row, and it just feels like you're due for some kind of step back. But I don't love the vibes in Dallas, and I hate the vibes in Philly. I don't know what to do with them. If we're doing a vibe ranking, then the vibes are the best in Washington by a billion, but the talent here is not good enough. I'm going to take Philly. I'm going to hold my nose. I don't feel good about it. It's probably the right answer. That's what I'm going with.
At first, I thought you were going to say the Commanders. That would have shocked me, but
there's part of me that wants to. Wants to mess around and just be like, I don't know, the Eagles are going to implode, the Cowboys are going to implode, the Giants aren't very good, and the Commanders are going to do the thing they do early on in every coach's tenure, it seems like, and win the division at 9-8.
Yeah.
There's part of me that wants to do that. And if they do that, then we can pull this clip, and I can be mad at myself for not doing it. But the pick you're going to write down, Anthony, next to my name for the NFC East is the Philadelphia Eagles.
Gotcha.
All right, how many did we differ on? We had a lot of similar picks, which scares me but should excite you.
So the NFC, we agreed on all of them. The AFC, we disagreed on the AFC South. The AFC East, you're just two.
There's part of me that makes me now want to switch to the Cowboys, but I'm gonna stick with my guys.
You sure?
Don't push me. When we get back, MVP, Rookie of the Year, offense, defense, all those individual awards. You know it. You love them. You can bet with them if you want to. Not that we'd recommend that kind of thing on our picks based off history. And then the one bet that you can potentially bet on based off recent history, I'm going to pick the Super Bowl. And I've been good at that. So let's see if we can make it 3 years in a row next on The Hoffman Show. All right, who's going to win it all? Individual awards, and then ultimately, who is winning the Super Bowl? We're going to try to answer that question in the next 10 minutes on The Hoffman Show here on the Team 980. Always live as well on the free Odyssey app. Anthony, let us begin with the final segment of picking things here, NFL picks, with our regular season awards. Then we'll wrap it up with our Super Bowl predictions. Who do you have for NFL MVP this season?
NFL MVP season, I'm going to go with Patrick Mahomes, actually. I'm going to... you might think it's the obvious choice. I'm going with Patrick Mahomes just because I think getting a three-peat means a lot to him and his team. And I think if they're going to have that happen, he's going to have to, produce at an, all-time rate. Also, I'm not too confident in their defense, but I do think their offense will have to be more explosive. And they have a lot of explosive players on their team. Hollywood's hurt right now, so when he comes back...
But they still have Xavier Worthy.
Yeah.
You got
Kelsey still. Well,
they should have Rashee Rice is a different story based off everything that he's facing legally, but they have Rashee Rice.
Yeah.
They've still got the running backs. They brought in some guys. We'll see if Pacheco is getting carries. They brought in Samaje Perine, our old friend, who's been a really effective player for a couple of different teams since he left here. So they've got weapons. Plus, as you mentioned, Kelsey, some of their other tight ends aren't too bad either. Mm-hmm. I actually agree with you.
Ooh,
I think Patrick Mahomes is the MVP this year because he's obviously the best player in the league. And I feel like at some point, there's always a year. This happens with LeBron. This happened with a couple of other players. It happened with Jordan back in the day. Ironically, didn't happen as often with Brady because when Brady had his monster statistical seasons, it was he scored 50 touchdowns. But like Peyton Manning, I think, was won more MVPs than Brady, which is why, like, for a long time when they were both in the league, it was a legitimate conversation until Brady went on and won even more Super Bowls and kept playing for like what felt like a decade after Peyton did. And I was like, okay, Brady's the GOAT. But those guys, while they were playing and in their primes, like a lot of people, myself frankly included, thought like Peyton's the better player. It's just the team success was different, yada yada. We don't need to relitigate those old debates. But there comes years where everyone's just like, this dude's the best player in the sport, and we haven't given it to him in a while, and it feels like we should. And Lamar won it last year. I think this year it'll be Pat again. If you had to pick a non-Pat player, who would it be?
A non-Pat player? To be honest, I think MVP is quarterback driven. So if
it definitely is.
If I didn't go Patrick Mahomes, I would probably say between Aaron Rodgers and Josh Allen.
Wow. I see. Rodgers, the last time he played, actually wasn't as good as people think he was.
When he won MVP?
No, there was a year after that.
Oh, well, if he gets back to like MVP form.
Yeah, but like there was a year after he won back-to-back MVPs where he wasn't as good, if I'm remembering correctly.
Okay.
So there's that. I don't know. I would say
Josh Allen for one, just because.
That was going to be my answer. Okay. It's like Allen had a legit case last year.
Yeah.
And I feel like he's good enough that there's a lot of people that are like, yeah, how has he not won one? We got to give it to Allen. So obviously the team success has to be there. If you had to pick like a sleeper, I think my sleeper pick would be Goff.
Goff for MVP.
He threw for 4,500 yards last year on a 12-win team.
How many touchdowns did he throw?
It was like 30.
Really?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I think I don't know.
Again, sleeper.
Yeah.
It's not like he'd be my third guy.
Well, my sleeper would be Jordan Love.
I like that. I like that a lot.
He would be my sleeper just because I think a lot of people got a lot of expectations for Love based off what he was able to do down the stretch of last season. And if he's going out there.
His numbers were sick.
Man.
The other one is Dak. Like,
yeah.
But they're going to have to be, I think, better than I think they will be. All right. Offensive player of the year. Different than MVP. I'm going to say, actually, well, if you think it's going to be the same guy, if you think it's going to be Pat, okay, fine. I'm going to pick a non-quarterback. But who are you going with?
Offensive player of the year. I'm a little bit torn. I would go Bijan Robinson.
I hate that pick.
He would be my guy just because
he could have 2,000. Like, I actually think he will have over 2,000 yards from scrimmage.
Exactly. And I think Kirk, first of all, he's going to utilize him. But I think also what Atlanta has built down in that they want to run the ball. He's explosive when he has the ball in his hands. We've seen it firsthand when he played the Commanders. So I'm thinking like with improved quarterback play, the fact that he's going to be the bell cow, getting the ball, getting receptions, I think this guy could really be in the conversation. And you know McCaffrey's also going to be up there probably.
Yeah, I think McCaffrey's a great call. I'm going to take JJ though. Because I think if Jefferson has like a 15, 16, 1700 yard year, which they're going to try to get him because they're going to force feed him the ball, with Sam Darnold as his quarterback, people are going to be like, oh my God. So I'm going Jefferson is my
nod. That means you're believing in Sam then, because Sam's going to have a couple of 300, 400 yard games.
He's going to.
Okay. Hey, look.
He's also going to have, in those games, he might have four picks too, okay. And they're not going to win.
As but long like, as we know.
They're going to throw the ball, and Kevin is going to get Justin Jefferson damn near 200 targets this year, okay. As long as Jefferson's healthy.
Okay.
His numbers last year were insane, and he missed a bunch of games.
Yeah.
His pace last year was like a 2,000-yard pace. CeeDee Lamb, by the way, same kind of volume play is not a bad idea. All right, defensive player of the year. Typically, it just goes to the best edge rusher. Is that where we're going here, or do you think that someone else could make a play?
So who won it last year?
Garrett, I believe.
Yeah, Myles Garrett won it. I mean, typically it does go to the best pass rusher in the league. I'm torn between the three at the top. You got TJ, you got Garrett, you got Micah.
Of those three, Micah's the only one that hasn't won it yet, which is why I'm going to pick Micah.
Okay. I like that one then.
Like if he has a 16-sack season?
Yeah.
17-sack season, which he can do.
I really want to think of a non-defensive lineman. I want to think Jalen Ramsey. Like, we haven't talked about him,
Hey, look, I picked the Dolphins to win the division, yeah. And if he has a couple of key picks and, you know, a couple of sacks, forced fumbles, like, you know, Mays and Klassen were talking about this on the Athletic Football Show. They made each other pick a non-edge, and Ramsey didn't come up, but the kind of the criteria was, like, can you get 5, 5, and 5? Can you get 5 picks, 5 sacks, and 5 forced fumbles? And who are the guys that can do that? And the name they came up with...
Kyle Hamilton.
...was Kyle Hamilton.
Okay. I like that one then. I would go... If I'm not going to go Ramsey, I would go Kyle Hamilton. But I think Jalen Ramsey being in a different system, not under Vic Fangio, not to say, you know, Vic was the reason behind his lack of success, but I think this is sort of kind of a fresh start, really put his name back to, you know, being a top cornerback in the league. So I would say Ramsey.
Yeah, my like sleeper guy would also be Sauce if he just has a crazy year and the Jets are really good.
Where he intercepts the ball, that he's there. He just
he's got to produce.
Catch the ball,
obviously. All right, offensive rookie of the year. Are you going the hometown kid?
Yes,
you are.
I'm going to go with Caleb Williams just because.
Oh, that hometown kid.
Oh, you're going with Jaden Daniels.
No, I'm going with Caleb Williams.
Oh.
You went with like the true hometown, like he's from here. I was referencing the hometown as he plays here.
Oh.
No, I'm also going Caleb Williams.
Okay, yeah, I'm going Caleb Williams. Again, like he has what he needs around him. He has a solid O-line. He has a good run game. He has 3 legitimate threats. I think he's going to be good.
Yeah, I agree. I just think he's set up to succeed in a way. Like he's going to have the first 4,000-yard season in Bears history as a quarterback, which is a crazy thing about the Bears, but is true. Defensive rookie of the year. This is hard.
You think it's hard?
I think so, because I don't think, like, obviously there was like no defensive players taken until the teens in the draft this year. But I think we might wind up in the same guy. 1, 2, 3, Latu.
I'm going with the first dude off the board.
He's a 10-sack guy potentially as a rookie on a team that could be good.
Exactly. That needs pass rush juice. He's going to be thrown into those situations on third down when you have to get to the quarterback. If he can just peel his ears back and go after the quarterback, he's going to make it happen. He did it in the preseason. I think he's going to do it in the regular season as well.
I mean, the second guy off the board, I believe, was Kenyon Mitchell. Maybe it was Dallas Turner, but I think Kenyon Mitchell has a chance as well. Gets a couple of picks with the Eagles. All right. Comeback player of the year, if we want to do that, I would say Kirk is probably my favorite for that.
Yep.
Kirk. I think he's going to have a big year coming off the Achilles. And that leaves, Anthony, one pick to make. We'll tell you our Super Bowl champions next on the Hoffman Show. All right, wrap it up here on the Hoffman Show. Team 980, always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We're just a couple hours from football, Ant. Chiefs and Ravens.
I can't wait, man.
Showing video, then warming up on SportsCenter. Looking up the screen. It's like, oh, look, Lamar's out there throwing a ball around. He's going to play. Not this preseason. Like, oh, yeah, they're just out there warming up nonsense. By the way, you also got... U.S. Open action tonight. You got some W action tonight. So great sports night if you got multiple screens. Although, obviously, most of us will have the NFL on the big one. So excited for that. Super Bowl champs hang their banner, and then they get back to work against a team that was the number one seed in the AFC last year. Favorite part of the show today, Anthony, was?
Probably these predictions. I'm not going to lie. I get excited.
Like, you do get excited for the predictions. You don't get excited when they come true. But
yeah, that too.
Well, there's been that. That's been I loved our guests today.
That too.
It was our first time having Dan Pizzuta on from the 33rd team. And he's going to join us all season long. And I am very ecstatic with that decision because Dan was great. And then if that wasn't good enough, Dan Orlovsky, well, we know him. He's always great. Orlovsky was on at 5 o'clock today. Definitely can't miss interview. We talked exclusively Commanders. So you can check that out. If you don't have time tonight before the game start, check it out tomorrow morning in the Hoffman Show podcast feed. So with that said, the housekeeping out of the way, I guess we should say tomorrow on the show, we got an insider from Tampa on the show to preview the game for the weekend. You have Take Command preview as well. Logan's thoughts and some stuff that we discovered when watching Tampa on tape. We also have Nikki Javala on the show tomorrow. Anything else? Our first round of game picks for the year? Our pick 6 players?
Yep.
We got a lot of stuff tomorrow, Anthony.
Yeah, we do. Oh, finish Friday.
And it's yeah. Today, by the way, we did a bad job today. All about the ball Thursday. And it just we were so about ball that we didn't even say that it was all about the ball Thursday. But our first finish Friday, have you call in, tell us how you're going to finish the week strong. So that'll be tomorrow at 4:30. Excited to launch that as well. Okay. With that, we have reached the end of the radio program in which we have one final salute to a legend. And we also have some high-quality nonsense.
Real things.
We're not going to be so this year.
Real people.
5-11. Not very good.
Said into real microphones.
You know, the culture is actually damn good.
This is a joke for Anthony only. 5-0, 5-0.
Yes.
It's worth it. It's worth it. Okay. Nonsense first, and then we'll end on a not a somber note, on a celebratory note of a legend saying goodbye. But we'll start with a legend who's already said goodbye. J.J. Watt is very good at football. He's apparently not as good at keeping his dogs quiet while he's doing his new job of being in the media, including this appearance on the Pat McAfee Show.
So this is going to surprise everybody.
I mean, geez.
Is that cool?
What the hell?
Barking aliens?
The dogs are.
Oh, my Lord. That just turned on my television. You're now on my TV.
Oh, it's an honor. So are you. Congrats. Okay. You're on TV. What type of dogs do you have over there?
I got a golden retriever and a golden doodle. Hey, Tex, you want to keep it down? Want TV in here?
Thank you.
Oh, Tex. Yeah.
Whoa.
Heel cinnamon.
Same guy comes every single day, delivers the mail every single day, sees him every single day, yet every day he barks at him. Nothing ever happens. Never attacked our house one time. We've never been having issues, yet every day we bark at the like, Lord.
I have a very dumb corgi who, similar situation.
Ooh. Fat as well.
Well,
hey, whoa, we don't gotta take a shot. We don't take a shot at the corgi for the size. Just call them dumb.
Oh my gosh, dogs are—they're
a trip, man. I'm dogs, or we're dog sitting right now, and we have an angel child of a dog. Nice. That we are sitting is the only dog we dog sit because the dog is so well behaved. And yet, still, there are times where I'm like, you are so smart. It's, now I feel like this is how my mother used to talk to me sometimes. I just had like a moment. You are so smart. Why are you being so dumb? That was a flashback to my childhood sometimes.
Nice.
Anyway, speaking of flashbacks to childhood, the Chargers social media team took some time this offseason to dive into their players' Facebook pages. And then they confronted their players with their Facebook pages.
Can you sign this for me?
Oh, my. Hell no.
Where I found this on Facebook? Y'all went on Facebook?
Yeah.
Hey, yo! Oh, where y'all found this? What's all about?
That's bad.
That's bad.
Y'all stalking my family's Instagram.
Holy jambalaya.
Oh my God.
I feel like my Facebook would be pretty bad too, Ant.
Man, mine is...
I've thought about deleting it a lot.
I haven't thought... Mine is private. So, like, the people that have seen the pictures already, you still have access to see those photos.
Yeah, right. But like, I got on Facebook when I was, like, 16, 15 years old.
Yep.
So, no telling what's back there.
Yeah.
I hope mine's private.
Mine is...
If you
pull anything off my Facebook, it is blackmail. That's how I feel. It is blackmail against me. Craig... Do not.
I got better things to do with my time. All right. Last but not least, we found out in an announcement on Instagram that Alex Morgan, the U.S. soccer legend, is retiring effective almost immediately. It's this weekend. But before she told the rest of the world in a 4-minute Instagram post where she also announced the reason why it's so sudden that she is pregnant with her second child, she told her teammates at San Diego Wave.
Yeah, there's no really other way to say it. I am retiring. Really blessed, but it was very unexpected. I'm pregnant. And I'm just gonna be a supporter of this team forever. San Diego is my home. I'm gonna be coming to the games, but this Sunday will be my last time stepping on the field with you guys. So yeah, I just wanted to tell you first before I let everybody know.
I mean, it is something that I'm sure Alex, this is not the way I imagine she would go out. It's like, oh, I'm pregnant. Apparently it was a surprise. That happens. And family planning is so complicated. Like, there's no telling why, you know, what I've learned, the older I've gotten, the more people I know that have, you know, been pregnant, given birth, like, this is an unpredictable thing in a lot of ways. And so, you know, for whatever reason, it was a surprise and she's pregnant and she's like, oh, okay, we're done. And so one final time for her this weekend. And real quick before we get out, I was able to talk to Tara McKeown from The Spirit today, who was a forward growing up in Southern California watching Alex Morgan and had this to say upon hearing the news.
It's going to be her second to last game. We just played against her. And obviously she's grown the game so much and just been, yeah, like you said, a player I looked up to growing up as a forward, and now having to defend against her, I'm glad that I won't have to do that anymore.
No doubt. More from Tara on the Hoffman W Sports YouTube page. We'll see you tomorrow.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoop.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.